Well, good morning.
Good morning.
Welcome to Unity Center of Light, another service from our home to your home. I hope you enjoy this today. My name is Reverend Millage Mosby.
And I'm Pam Mosby.
And you are the platform assistant.
I'm the platform assistant today. Mm-hmm. Welcome to Unity Center of Light, a spiritual community that nurtures the growth of all who are seeking to develop the potential of their spirit, mind, and body. Please join me as we affirm Unity Center of Light's mission and foundation statements. Let's affirm the mission statement together. The mission of Unity Center of Light is to empower individuals to express their indwelling divine potential. We teach there is a power within each of us far greater than anything that exists outside of us. And now let's affirm our foundation statement together. There is only one power and one presence active in my life and affairs, God the good, omnipotent. And now we'll have our daily word reading for Sunday, May 24th, 2020. Key word is faith, and the affirmation is, I invest my faith only in possibilities for good. The parable of the talents in the Gospel of Matthew tells the story of a wealthy man entrusting sums of money to three of his servants before leaving on a journey. When the man returns, he praises and rewards the two servants who, through wise investments, have doubled the funds entrusted to them. A third servant, who, acting in fear, hid the money entrusted to him, receives no reward. The divine faculty of faith that is part of the spiritual inheritance is more valuable than money. I invest my faith wisely by believing and trusting that possibilities for good are present, even where good has not yet manifested, and I act on that belief. My positively directed faith brings rich rewards in consciousness. And the scripture is Matthew 25, 21. You have been trustworthy in a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Enter into the joy of your master.
Thank you, hon. So we are continuing with this idea of developing our prayer consciousness, let's put it that way. We've been talking about, you know, living the prayerful life. Today we're going to talk about how to expand our consciousness through prayer. And, you know, there are tools that what we basically do is looking at the tools that we need in order to do this idea of expanding our consciousness through prayer so we can live our life as a prayer. And there's some, you know, there's some very specific dynamics that we need to go through to make that happen. To start this process, I'm going to use a old Deep Space Nine episode that I've used many times before, but it fits perfectly with what we're going to be discussing today. So this is where the crew is out in a roundabout. You know, a roundabout is the thing that they take. They go off out of the ship on this little thing so they can go around and do exploring. And while they were out in this roundabout, they accidentally snagged a small unknown energy field with that ship. So upon close examination, when they got back to their ship, they discovered that what they were seeing was the beginning of a new universe. Upon closer examination, they discovered the beginning or genesis of a new intelligent species within the newly formed universe. However, the dilemma was that this new universe was expanding at such a rapid rate that if it was allowed to continue, within a very short period of time, it would obliterate and replace the existing universe. So the captain and the crew, you know, were caught in sort of a quandary. Do they destroy the new to save the old, or do they allow the new to replace the old? One of the senior officers couldn't really understand what all of the fuss was about, because her feeling was that to destroy this new universe and its civilization at its present stage of development would be like stepping on ants. And she said, I don't know what the big deal is, okay? So I'm sure you can see the analogy here in the process of spiritual growth. You know, there's always this dilemma of, you know, destroying the old, and so forth, and new. And you can understand here Jesus's statement in there about, you know, putting new wine into old wineskins. So it's sort of that concept. But if you, the key here is if you choose to live your life in prayer, meditation, and contemplation, you will ignite within yourself the beginning of a new universe, a universe that will begin to spread through your existing inner universe, your existing state of being, and disrupt your existing belief system. The way you used to think will change, and new dynamics will begin to come into your mind. So the question you'll be confronted with is, you know, do I allow the new universe, the new consciousness that's trying to unfold within me to replace my old universe with all of its fears, beliefs, and prejudices, its wounds, and its unforgiving thoughts? Can I, will I allow what I am now to dissolve into and be replaced by a new awareness? You know, and that is what we're going to be looking at. Okay, so we're sort of like Nicodemus in that we have all this intellectual, spiritual knowledge, yet, you know, we do not fully understand how to apply it to the disruptive circumstances that occur in our lives. Now, I think almost everybody knows the Nicodemus story, where Nicodemus comes to Jesus in the night. And again, Nicodemus, considered a very highly evolved, at least highly evolved intellectually in terms of knowing all of the belief systems and whatnot of the Jewish faith, but still he comes to Jesus in the night, which metaphysically means he came to Jesus in spiritual ignorance. So he has all the intellectual knowledge, but he's coming to Jesus to try to understand the spiritual dynamics of that. Okay. And yes, you know, we are very good at intellectualizing the situations in our lives in an effort to reestablish the normalcy that we are accustomed to and desire. And again, that's the process. You know, we use our intellect to try to figure out, how do I get back to normal? But where we fall short is in our ability to spiritualize challenging situations by being open and receptive to the divine guidance that could lead us to transformative ways to and new possibilities, you know, that we couldn't even fathom. And that's what we want to get to. Yeah, we have a mind that can get us to a certain place, but there is so much more we can tap into that is actually beyond what we could even fathom right now. And it's sort of the dilemma we're going through right now. I've noticed both at the college, and we sat through a minister's conference, you know, Zoom meeting. I think it was about 75 ministers anyway, and two of them who had put it on were in a meeting with about 1,000 ministers across the country, not just Unity ministers, but ministers in general, trying to figure out what to do in this, you know, with this new dilemma that's going on. But what I hear both at the college and in that seminar we were sitting in is that we are using our intellect to try to fashion new ways to really get back to what was. In other words, the new ways we're fashioning are not really to take us into a realm that we couldn't even have fathomed before, but it's we're sort of trying to figure out new ways to get back to where we were. You know, and that's we're trying to understand how do we get beyond that. Now, President Obama, I don't know if you saw him in the thing he did, or not just him, but it was a whole thing about congratulations to the graduates of 2020. And in that, he said that this, you know, we need to create a whole new way of being, a whole new way of existing. But he said, old guys like me, I can't do it. He said, it's up to you young folks to do it. Because what he's trying to say is the young folks are not trapped in the same consciousness, the same mindset that we're in. What we're seeking to do, though, is how do I free my consciousness from the old so I can be open and receptive to receive the new ideas and new concepts that, you know, I can receive from spirit. So when a life-changing event occurs that disrupts our lives, such as the pandemic, our intellect becomes emotionally intertwined, causing a multitude of reactions. And in our confusion, we pray for understanding. But in the Nicodemus parable, Jesus is explaining that we cannot understand spiritual ideas unless we're willing to be born again, born anew, born into a consciousness that will allow us to become aware of the kingdom of God while standing in the midst of intellectual confusion. Okay. So here's another thought for us. The kingdom of God being Christ consciousness, and Christ consciousness being Christ in you, your hope of glory. Go back one, huh? Okay. So Christ in you, your hope of glory. That comes from Colossians. And this hope of glory being the true wisdom within you that will guide your every thought, word, and action if you will allow it. Okay, that's the key, if we will allow it, right? But to come into this new awareness, you must be reborn into this new awareness, this new consciousness. The revealing word explains that rebirth requires a change from intellectual consciousness to spiritual consciousness. And we've heard this idea of rebirth all of our Christian lives. You must be born again. You must be born anew. I don't think we really understood what that meant. And it means moving from relying just on our intellect to being open and receptive to divine spiritual consciousness that is available to us. And we want to move into this spiritual consciousness through the quickening power of the word of truth. And that's what we're studying here all the time, is we're looking at the word of truth, and we're trying to figure out, how do I apply this word of truth to my everyday life? And it's written in John 3:3, except one be born anew, he cannot see the kingdom of God. And again, for simplicity's sake, you know, you say, well, what is the kingdom of God? Think of the kingdom of God as the realm of the divine ideas that we have unlimited access to. And that's a real simple understanding of it. So beyond our intellect, there is this realm. Again, remember, I always talk about Deepak, talks about the virtual realm, the quantum realm, the physical realm. So beyond our intellect, there is this virtual realm, this realm of infinite possibilities, infinite ideas. And that's what we're looking to be open and receptive to. So prayer begins this process of connecting our mind with God mind. And every time we pray, we are, in effect, beginning the creation of a new universe within ourselves. Now, whether or not this new universe survives and overtakes our existing fear-based universe depends on whether or not we allow it to grow. And that's the key. Now, I know that's kind of harsh to say we had this fear-based universe. But if you think about it, a lot of times, that's, we have reactions to things, reactions to what to things that come up in our lives. It's hard for us to say it just is. It, for us, it becomes something. It's almost back to the talk a couple of weeks ago with, you know, we're in a dualistic mind, seeking to move to semi-dualism and hopefully eventually non-dualism. But that's the idea that keeps us sort of this fear-based, this dualistic mentality is what keeps us in this fear-based universe, so to speak. So we can continue to sit around, as we usually do, and intellectualize about how willing we are to allow a whole new universe to unfold within us. But when it comes right down to it, the question is, will we? Are we really willing to let go of all of our fears and resentments and pains and wounds and unforgiving thoughts and our strong beliefs and opinions? Are we willing to let go of and give up to the God of our being all within us that is based on fear and negative thinking? And notice what I said, give up to the God of our being. So the Holy Spirit is the individualized expression of God within us. And can we let go of all of these fear-based negative dynamics we may have within us to that inner spirit? Okay. So some of us may be thinking, well, of course, you know, I'm willing to let go and let God be God in me. However, upon close examination, even the most prayerful among us may find that up to this point in our lives, it has not always been easy to surrender to God in prayer. Now, surrender to God in prayer means if there is something in your life that's challenging you that you feel fearful about, surrendering to God in prayer is letting go of that fear so that you can actually feel and experience the Holy Spirit working within you and in your life, okay? So our ego you know, may have developed an intellectual staging of the practice of surrender. In other words, it's making believe, helping us make believe that we're surrendering. But more often than we care to admit, or maybe even more often than we can admit, all right, we have an ego reaction to life's challenges drawing us into fear-based behavior before we even realize it. So intellectual staging is quite different from spiritual surrender. When you're committed to expanding your consciousness through prayer, you will persist and insist on remaining open to receiving guidance from within and then sharing with others a peaceful response to whatever is occurring in your life. So it's not only, well, of course, you can't be peaceful with others until you're first peaceful within yourself, okay? And so the key is that you develop, I don't want to say just develop, but you allow this peace to, you know, as my friend would say, percolate up inside of you. And then from that peacefulness, you can bring that peacefulness to either others you're dealing with or, you know, things in life that you, you know, that might be challenging. So this is a way of one who walks the path of peace. And that's what we want, walking the path of peace, all right? And as St. Francis expressed, those who have committed themselves to walk the path of peace are proclaiming by their actions, Lord, make me an instrument of thy peace, okay? And these are folks who live by power instead of force. And that's a series that I did I like to revisit sometime. It's based on the book Power versus Force. And, you know, to understand the difference, think of force as coming from reacting to life's challenges from the forcefulness of the ego, and power as coming from responding to life's challenges with the strength and the compassion that can only be gained from prayer, right? So simply, ego-based force is artificial, short-lived, and limited, whereas spirit-based power is real, eternal, and unlimited, okay? So, you know, we're students of truth. We call ourselves truth students, practicing daily, walking the path of peace. That's basically what we say. As truth students, we are learning that truth principles demand a new space, a new receptacle, a new universe free of existing beliefs and opinions. Right? So to take a look at another, it is as if God, the principle of love, is saying to us, okay, it's saying, let me just make sure I've got the right slide up.
I think it's the next one.
Okay. Yeah, go to the next one, sweetie. Okay, so that's right. So it's as if the, you know, God, the principle of love, is saying to us, if you follow me, you will learn to express love and forgiveness. You will seek peaceful solutions, and you will pray in every situation. Okay? Also, the same idea, it is as if when we pray, God is saying to us, in order for your prayer to be answered, you must allow me to heal you and heal you deeply. Okay, now that comes back, that follows that prayer. Let me just finish it, heal you deeply, which means I must give you a new universe, you know, a new consciousness that knows the power of love to heal and overcome any fear that is disturbing your peace. All right, now let me just go back for a minute to the idea of heal you deeply. You remember that's the prayer that we pray. You know, reveal in me that which needs to be revealed, and heal in me that which needs to be healed, and heal me deeply. So there are sort of layers of healing that we need to go through. You know, we will get through one layer and we think we got it. And then something in life will come up, and before we know it, another layer pops up. Okay, and that's just the way it is. So that's why that prayer, you know, reveal in me that which needs to reveal, heal in me that which needs to be healed, heal me deeply. But even at that heal me deeply, there's going to be a level that you'll be healed at. But you keep saying the prayer, and another level will come up, right? And that's the process we need to be open to going through. So accepting the spiritual guidance that comes from God in prayer usually causes conflict with our existing belief system, our existing universe, so to speak. So we're often faced with a dilemma. Do we accept the new universe and its inhabitants of divine ideas, or do we step on it, squashing it like ants, so that we can remain the way that we are? And that's what we always have to be careful of, is this idea of trying to remain the way that we are. And that's what's happening kind of in the world today. Everybody's talking about getting back to the way things are. And I can fully understand it, because I myself, there's some things I like to get back to. But it may not be about getting back. You know, we have to be open to what this whole thing we're going through right now is really all about, what it's really saying to us. So however, you know, we're examining the possibility that we are ready for a higher level understanding of the nature and purpose of prayer. We're exploring the possibility that when we pray, we are in essence asking for a new, higher understanding of our true, unlimited nature. And the events that are occurring in the world today are presenting us with a clear sign that we can no longer haphazardly walk the spiritual path. We have to walk this deliberately. You know, we can no longer casually pray every now and then. The events of the world are demanding a new commitment to living life as a prayer. Right? So for the purpose of this study, we're viewing prayer as asking the emergence, or asking for the emergence of a new understanding and a new awareness, you know, sort of a new universe, a new replacement of our existing consciousness. That's what we're asking for. You know, Father, please help me to unfold and understand the deeper dynamics of what, you know, what is happening in life. So the more time we spend in prayer, meditation, and spiritual contemplation, the more energy we're giving to the birth and expansion of a new universe of wisdom and love within ourselves. So to pray is to spark the possibility of a new understanding, the genesis of a new consciousness. And when we resist, oppose, or block the expansion within ourselves of a new universe and its accompanying new species of divine ideas, we are in effect doing what the officer in the TV series suggested. We are stepping on and crushing the beginning of a new understanding. We are forbidding the new universe and all those new divine ideas from expanding and replacing the old self. That's something we don't want to do. And I realize this may not be a conscious process. In other words, you don't consciously think that yourself is crushing this unfolding of a new, you know, dynamic that's happening within you. You know, we may be, you know, we may not be consciously aware that we are preventing the evolution of a new way of thinking. You know, you don't think to yourself, no, I'm going to stop. I don't want to think, you know, I don't want a new way of thinking. We've never said that. It's not in what we actually think specifically. It's how we think generally. You know, we may not be conscious aware that we are preventing the expansion of a whole new universe that would bring us closer to consciously understanding the things of spirit and how to apply those things to the difficult circumstances in our lives. However, the whole spiritual evolutionary journey is about self-examination. What was it? You know, self-examination without condemnation. It's about coming to a new understanding of the true purpose behind the spiritual process and the true purpose of prayer. So the crew on the TV series depicted a truism in human emotion. When we are frightened or leery of that which we do not understand, our first thought is to reject it or destroy it. And quite often when we become aware of, you know, new spiritual ideals, they frighten us and make us leery because they're so different from our common race conscious thought process. And when I say race conscious, that, you know, Charles Fillmore, one of the co-founders of Unity, talked a lot about how we're trapped in a crystallized race consciousness. So that's what I mean by these divine ideas that are coming to us are so different from our crystallized race conscious thought process. Prayer begins to soften that crystallization in our thinking and allows us to become more open and receptive to receiving these divine ideas. And that is probably why Jesus said to us in John 4:10, if you only knew the gift of God, you know, if you only knew, you would ask and it would be given to you. So I say again, the whole spiritual evolutionary journey is about self-examination. and it requires a willingness to be born anew. So the question we must ask ourselves over and over again until we get a clear answer is, am I willing to be born anew? You know, it's an interesting look at the different versions of, you know, of Paul in the statement, you know, and this is, let me look at the, I'm going to give you different Bible verses here from Paul. It's from Paul 13:12. The standardized and new revised version, it says, now I see in the mirror dimly, okay? And the new international version, NIV version, it says, now I see but a poor reflection in the mirror. But in the revised English version, it says, at present, I see only puzzling reflections in a mirror. And the New Jerusalem Bible, it puts it this way. It says, now we see only reflections in a mirror that were mere riddles, right? So, you know, Bible, you know, each Bible verse has its own unique way of saying it. But, you know, I believe that each version is trying to tell us that we do not see all of who we really are, okay? We only see a poor reflection, not based on the truth in our spiritual nature, but on the false perceptions of our limited human nature. So we don't see ourselves as spiritual beings having a human experience. We just see ourselves as spiritual beings trying to be spiritual when we have always heard we cannot be any more spiritual than we already are. We are spiritual beings who are asleep to our own spirituality. And that is one of the purposes of prayer and meditation, is to awaken us to that. So much of the problem that we have with prayer is that we are puzzled by the poor reflection of ourselves, and, you know, that we perceive in the mirror of our mind. It confuses us and prevents us from realizing the truth of who we really are. We're like the baby eagle. This is another one you've heard me say before. We're like the baby eagle, and whose egg, you know, somehow fell among the chickens. So he was hatched and raised by the chickens. And all of his life, he thought and acted like a chicken. Even though he had naturally within him the ability to soar at the height of the mountains, he pecked and scratched the ground with all the rest of the chickens. Now, many of us, like the eagle, have been pecking and scratching the ground of our false perceptions about ourselves, when all of our lives we've had the ability to soar to the great heights of our spirituality. Right? So, and to help us to soar, all right, you know, the idea here is, you know, to help us to soar spiritually, and keep this, you know, keep this thought in your mind when you pray. With this prayer, I am appealing to a higher level of myself that already exists within me as me. With this prayer, I am striving to step up to a higher level of awareness and a higher level of expression of my true Christ nature. Right? So Dr. Maurice Nicole says that we are unawakened and unfinished. And that's basically what's happening with us. You know, it's not that we are not spiritual. We are just not awake to that, and we're unfinished, because this process that we're going through to try to awaken is ongoing. And Paul says, you know, now we only know ourselves in part, but the time is coming when we will fully understand who we are. So many of us across this nation and around the world are praying for a new approach, you know, to this global pandemic. But if only we could collectively come together and create and maintain a high prayer consciousness that transcends the activity of COVID-19, what magnificent shifts in the consciousness of humankind might we be able to achieve? In our collective endeavor to evolve to the next level of consciousness, let's hold on to the words Jesus gave his disciples. It's recorded in Luke 18:1. He told them that they must pray always and not lose heart. And so it is with each one of us, you know, pray always and not lose heart. So I want to end with this thought. In all matters in your life, be persistent in prayer. Allow your mind and heart to be raised to the level where it can perceive the gift of God and not lose heart. And so it is. Amen. And now we will have meditation with Pamela.
As we go into our meditation this morning, let us give thanks for all the lives that have been lost in service to our country and those whose lives have been lost to violence and or disease. So I ask you now to gently close your eyes and place your feet flat on the floor with a straight spine. A time of quiet meditation opens your mind and your heart. As you take time to still your thoughts and relax your body, you find it easy to tune into that holy place within. Taking in now a deep cleansing breath, you breathe in and you breathe out. Calm and quiet any disturbing thoughts and emotions. Take in another deep breath and then release it. Once again, inhale and release, and let us acknowledge the power and the presence of the Holy Spirit, active in our lives and affairs, our nation, and our world. You are centered and poised. Any appearance of lack or chaos in your life seems distant as you feel the calm peace of your soul deep within. In this place, you hold fast to the highest vision of who you are. You believe in yourself and you follow your heart. You are open to new possibilities, new beginnings. You can reach for the fulfillment of your heart's desire. So let's take the next few moments to take into the silence your possibilities for new beginnings and the fulfillment of your heart's desire. As you prepare to enter into the secret place of the Most High and to come ye apart a while, remember to gently release all that no longer serves you. Mental baggage, emotional baggage, and physical baggage, allow it to fall away. This is your time to pray in the silence, receive answers to your prayers, and feel the fulfilling stillness of the Christ. We do thank you, gracious Spirit, that you have heard our prayers and answered them as you always do. We give thanks in the name and nature of our elder brother and way-shower, Jesus the Christ, and so it is. Slowly come back to your day now and remember that the Unity Center of Light is always here for you. Amen.
All right. Well, it's been our pleasure again to have been with you today. We're going to do as we always do, and that's to bless our offering. We want to, again, give you our heartfelt thanks for just the abundant donations that you've been sending in to support us during this very challenging time. This is a really interesting new normal. I don't know how many folks out there have been spending almost more time communicating with people through Zoom and other, you know, kind of conferencing platforms, but it's a really interesting time that we're in right now. And again, we so much appreciate your donations
yes,
and your support.
Yeah.
So, again, maybe you can make those donations by going to the website and pressing on the donate button. You can make them through PayPal, through the Tithely app, Tithely.ly, and also by just mailing it to the center. So holding your donation in your hand or in your mind, we know a lot of you give automatically, and we truly appreciate that. Let's do our offering blessing together. We bless and give thanks for these tithes and offerings as they go forth to continue the healing, loving work being done through the Unity Center of Light. And Amen. So it is. Amen. All right. And the light notes are, as usual, please make sure you're looking at the e-newsletter that comes from April and the weekly update that comes from Patty that tells you about all of the activities that are going on during the week and the activities that are coming up. You know, right after this, we go right into a Zoom session. Many people are in Zoom already watching this. And it gives us a chance to really communicate and interact with each other. If you have not been on our Zoom session right after this service, we, you know, truly invite you to come and see all your Unity friends and family and listen to some great music and just, you know, have a chance to fellowship for a while. So we look forward to seeing you there. And as usual, it's been our pleasure to bring you this service. God bless.
And we'll see you in the Zoom room.
Yes. And stay safe and stay well. Goodbye.